Get your Bucks tickets, Lightning tickets, concert tickets, all kinds of tickets everywhere across the country at fanretreat.com. That's fanretreat.com, a Florida company, proud supporter of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code at fanretreat.com. And even better yet, at Fan Retreat, you can book your airline tickets, your hotel rooms, your rental vehicles, whatever you need. One-stop shop for a great fan retreat at fanretreat.com. Remember, they absolutely search for the best Bucks ticket prices around on the secondary market. Not a lot of fees like you'll find elsewhere. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code, fanretreat.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. I am Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. But the star of the show is the great Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, a man who literally is called Sage by just about everybody right now, which is pretty amazing. Mr. Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCamper is here. The podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. It's been a busy day at One Buck. We're recording this Wednesday. Sage, how are you, man?
I'm upbeat. Lee, I'm upbeat. I've totally done a 180 from Chicago.
Whoa.
Windy City's behind me. Atlanta dead ahead. I wish everybody in the path of this ferocious hurricane to be safe and sound. It's a lot worse than people thought it was going to be. People waking up 150 mile an hour, Category 4, almost a 5, Lee. But the Bucks are rolling into Atlanta, and they better be Cat 5. They got a chance to put the Falcons out of their misery, Lee. It's not a bad time to be playing Atlanta. We talked to Dan Quinn today. He said, how you doing, Sage? No, he didn't say Sage, but he did say Ira. And I used his name about 8 times in my question. You were counting it.
Only 4.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, everybody needs a trademark.
Yeah.
He admitted they are banged up. He doesn't like to make excuses. But I think the biggest injury from a Buck perspective that Atlanta is facing, and the guy's not going to play until mid-November at the earliest, is Deion Jones.
Yeah.
I am a huge Deion Jones guy. I even mentioned it to Quinn. I said, look, he's playing in the same division as a middle linebacker as Luke Kuechly. Kuechly's the man, but Jones isn't far behind. And he's not a bad role model for Quan Alexander to follow. Jones is just as fast as Quan Alexander. He's got the same passion. He's in the right position to make plays more than Quan Alexander at this point. So, look, Lee, if you go up and win your first 2 road division games, that puts you in very good shape. Not a bad time to play the Falcons. Lee, Mike Smith said the sky is not falling, and he's right. Until 1 o'clock on Sunday, when they have to prove that, Lee.
Well, I'm just curious, because we saw that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution got a few questions in with Arthur Blank, and I don't know if he would totally agree that his coach thinks the sky isn't falling. He doesn't sound like he suffers losing so well. By the way, you were telling everybody's in a good mood. You're in a good mood. People call you Sage. I saw you having a one-on-one with Jameis at his locker for some time.
I did.
I mean, that's a pretty long one-on-one.
It was.
In the past, he's referred to you as Sage. Did he drop Sage again with you?
He didn't drop it, but he didn't say sag either. So
okay.
I took that as a win.
And I think that's a reason for, but you said you're in a good mood. You put Chicago past you. Is this another reason what puts you in a good mood? Because Jameis is available. Jameis is playing.
Jameis looked very relaxed, Lee, which I like. He didn't look like a guy who feels he's going to have to do too much on Sunday, which I like, because that's a danger when a team's defense is not playing well, and Matt Ryan might feel the same way in Atlanta. Their defense has given up 33. The Buck defense, 35 on a season. 55% conversion rate on third downs against the Falcons? I mean, that's outrageous. The Bucks were last year. Steve, you're Mr. Nugget. I believe the number was 49. That was last in the league. The Falcons, right now, 55, last in the league. It's not all about Deion Jones. Now, they're missing 2 safeties, too. So, Lee, a lot can look different by Sunday afternoon. I mean, a lot can look different. I think for Mike Smith's sake, this defense has to look a lot different, because if they can't make strides off the bye week, why should Buck fans feel going forward that this defense is going to turn it around?
This is
a big, big week for Mike Smith.
You're absolutely right, Ira. And you talk about last in the league. The Bucks are last in the league in defense. Mike Smith's defense is last in the league. You're never last in the league, I might add.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Mike Smith, and to his credit, Bucks fans get mad whenever I write this. I understand why they get mad. you hate writing bad things about good people. Mike Smith is as class act as they come. But Steve and I decided a week or so ago that time had come. Mike Smith's got to go.
If they, try something else, you said.
At any rate, Mike Smith was at the podium today, at the lectern, faced the music. I sensed, I don't know about you, but I sensed, bubbling below the surface, he was very steamed. However, he kept a good face.
He's a pro.
Every question. He could have easily said, I'm not answering that. Steve hit him with probably the toughest question there was. He answered it like a pro. What did you take out of Mike Smith's press conference?
I think there's a general sense, Steve, that us armchair quarterbacks don't know what we're talking about most of the time. And if I was Mike Smith, I'd probably feel the same way. With all due respect to Messrs. De Kemper and Isbitz, Steve, you get some props for asking directly about fans who were clamoring for Mike Smith's scalp. I believe his line was, I've got tire tracks on my back, Steve. That's a hell of a line. He was fired as a head coach after being a pretty darn successful head coach.
So NFL Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he knows what the stakes are. He came damn close to making a Super Bowl with the Falcons. Lost a very tough NFC title game. I believe he was 60-47-1, something like that. I think that might be the number when you count in the playoffs. So I think he's a little steamed, but he also has the recognition that, Steve, when the numbers are what the numbers are, especially when the offense is putting points up like this, you can't be considered the weak link. For any fans that think he's going to quit and make things easy for Dirk Cutter, that's not going to happen, Lee. So, again, I think the onus is on Mike Smith and his group to turn things around on Sunday. I'm not looking for him to pitch a shutout. This is a very high-powered offense. The offense is not the reason the Falcons are 1-4, Lee, although they didn't do anything in the second half at Pittsburgh. Nothing. They're not running the ball particularly well either,
no.
Lee.
And that was a close game at Pittsburgh at halftime.
It was a
three-point
game,
was it not?
At halftime. They are desperate. The Falcons are going to let it all hang out. I hope the Bucs do the same.
Well, you use the word onus. And I think Bucs fans would use the word that rhymes with onus about the Bucs defense. Do you see them making any strides? I mean, it's been how many games so far? And it's the same old, same old. I don't know why anybody should expect a marked rebound, especially against this offense.
Steve, I'm going to give Mike Smith a little fodder to call us armchair quarterbacks, Steven. How do you like that? I'm going
to
give
I got
a little...
plenty to say, Sage. Go ahead.
All right, before you weigh in, I'm throwing in my suggestion, my 2 cents, as the de facto defensive coordinator of this football team.
De facto?
Are you ready? Your best player on defense has been Jason Pierre-Paul. Move him around and don't let the Falcon offensive line know where he's going to line up. And I said all summer long, part of his value is his versatility. He's played a lot of left end with the Giants. And in the preseason and training camp, we saw him inside a lot. We haven't seen that. Move him around. You got Vea in there. You got McCoy. You got some flexibility. Dare I mention Noah Spence? Yes, I
dare
will.
Dare I?
So I say move JPP around. I don't think he'd mind it one bit. And take advantage of some matchups with a Falcon offensive line, Mr. Isbitz, that was ravaged by the Steelers last week.
Well, I got a question
Matt
for
Ryan
you, Sage.
Took a beating last week.
I got a question for you, and this wasn't one of the things I was going to say, but it brings up, bears the point. You know, a lot of Bucs fans have talked about, Brent Grimes came off the field, Ryan Smith came in. Mike Smith sort of said today, hey, you know, it was a short-term decision for Grimes and a long-term decision. Meaning, hey, you know, we want to preserve this guy. Game was out of reach. We wanted Ryan Smith to get in. But on the flip side, I didn't see him take out Jason Pierre-Paul. That's your best guy on the line right now. And we know that he's been playing 90-something percent of the snaps.
He's already admittedly playing more than he should be.
Why was Brent Grimes, that's really my question, and we don't have an answer, we're not going to get one. Why was he the only starter to come off the field? Why weren't we seeing Jack Sitchie for Levante David? It was odd. It's still odd.
Because they're not happy with the way Grimes has played his first two games back from his injury. And I cut him some slack in the Pittsburgh game because you're not going to be 100%. You know, you're going to be ready to play, and cleared by the doctors, but not 100%. Groin injury's a funky injury. But Lee, they weren't happy with the way he played against Chicago either. Is he going to start in Atlanta? Yes. Should he? Yes.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit a foul pitch there on a fastball. I'll say it again. It's the groin injury. This is a marathon, not a sprint. They need Grimes for the long haul. The game was over at halftime. Cutter confessed he pulled Fitzpatrick for Jameis, even admitted he probably shouldn't have put Jameis in those circumstances. Now, can there be an underlying element there that they weren't happy? Or perhaps.
Perhaps.
But maybe I'm naive. I think it was more because of Grimes' groin than anything else. What was it? I'm sorry?
I agree. I just don't know why they won't say it.
Yeah, there's nothing to say. Yeah. Unless they're so paranoid about talking about injuries that they think Julio Jones is going to go out there and put him in a 54 leg lock and throw out his groin for the year.
All right, Sage, a couple of important things, and we had a lot of great juice from one buck, and I'm not finished with you and some of the things that went on today.
Oh.
First, fans listening and catching the podcast at JoeBucksFan.com, there's a big, giant ad there today that explains that Ira Kaufman will be with John Cooper, Lightning head coach, Friday from 4 to 6 at Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. Now, if you print that ad or show it on your phone, you're going to get a free autographed picture from Ed Morse, not of Ira, I'm sorry, but of John Cooper. And there will be refreshments served. And no, you don't have to pay for them at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
For a $10 stipend, they will get a picture of the stage, too.
And you can selfies with the stage, absolutely.
And no cash bar.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Oh, I thought you said refreshments, you don't have to pay for them.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Refreshments, I think of food, but I'm sure there'll be drink, too.
And you're also showing up, Mr. Risbit.
I have to keep you in line. And
right.
So Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, just west of 75 on Causeway Boulevard. Their website, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. Fantastic support from them. And
Four to six p.m.
on Friday at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. At Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Ira, big news. The brand new 2019 XT4 crossovers are in and ready for immediate delivery at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. Take one home during their big win sales event for just $459 a month lease. Yes, new XT4s, only $459. If you haven't seen them yet, go to edmorescadillactampa.com or, of course, rush over to Edmore's Cadillac Tampa just west of 275 on Fletcher. edmorescadillactampa.com. We appreciate their support. Ira, I thought Mike Smith today, you know, this was his first time talking since the Chicago debacle. And just in general, I felt I had to give him a chance to respond. It's kind of funny. I actually said fire Mike Smith to Mike Smith. And he seemed to get a little bit annoyed. But I think he appreciated a chance to address this, to say, hey, you know, my feelings aren't hurt. But he didn't really have anything of any substance to say about the defense in general. And I even asked him, you know, hey, Dirk Cutter just got all this feedback. Are you going to use it on Sunday? I thought maybe he'd say something about the guys.
We got some good suggestions.
Or maybe he'd praise a guy specifically. And he said we got good suggestions, but he gave nothing of any detail.
I think he's reticent to give away the store at all. I do.
I don't know, but he's got to improve. I mean, there's no more excuses, like you said. Now, look, Lee and I saw you cornering Jameis at his locker. We were there a little bit, and then we peeled off. And we also saw you cornering Brian Glazer outside the building. I look out the window. There you are. You got your Brian Glazer's grill. You got anything you can share from these two fellas?
Anybody who walks past One Buck Place, I'm in. I want a conversation.
One of these days they're going to have you working at security shack.
Well, Jameis, I started talking about Pat Mahomes with Jameis. So I wanted to get his thoughts about him. I said, you ever seen a guy throw a left-handed pass? Then Isbitz comes by and says, hey, Sage. Winston threw a left-handed pass 2 years ago. What kind of memory you got? And Winston's over there nodding like, yeah, well, what's up with that? So I felt bad. Thank you, Mr. Isbitz, for embarrassing me in front of the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. You know, he loves Pat Mahomes. He loves he talked about how Andy Reid, you know, knows his quarterbacks.
And that he does.
And you got to give Reid credit because he was successful with Alex Smith. He took him to a certain level, and obviously, Reid thought they can't get past that point with Smith. Smith's in Washington. He's the same Alex Smith. Good, not great. This kid's got a chance to be elite.
Did Andy Reid make the playoffs with Nick Foles?
Did Andy Reid make the playoffs with Nick Foles?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Absolutely.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, they went.
I know they made the playoffs with Mike Vick. They lost to the Packers in the playoffs, if I recall correctly. No, they beat the Packers. It was like a Hail Mary. Not a Hail Mary, but anyway, it was a far of interception. That's what it was. But and obviously, they had tremendous success with Donovan Smith or Donovan McNabb. So Randy Reed's a quarterback guru. He's the whisperer.
We talked a little Drew Brees. I told him the story that I went on the Mad Dog last week and mentioned, and this was before Brees' record-breaking performance. I suggested that Brees might duly be considered a top 10 quarterback all time. And I said that Chris Russo said it was absurd. That's a silly argument. Winston couldn't believe that. Why would that be silly? Look what Drew Brees has done.
You know, I got the perfect Russo comeback for that. Well, how many quarterbacks has Jameis Winston seen? Has he seen Roger Staubach? Has he seen Sid Luckman?
I could just see him. As far as Brian Glazer, he's upbeat. 2-2, he realizes the Bucks have not dug a hole in September like they have so many times in the past decade. And he's looking for a very good effort on Sunday and has confidence that the Bucks are going to play well. Now, that's the way an owner has to look at it. I'm sure Arthur Blank's thinking the same thing. Arthur Blank's not a happy man.
No.
Brian Glazer does not think the Bucks are in bad shape. By the way, I was talking to Rich McKay a couple of weeks ago. He left me a message. Hey, how you doing, Irv? So, you know, that story has wings. It's all over North America. Lee, Brian Glazer doesn't think the Bucks are in bad shape. Are the Bucks in bad shape?
Their defense suggests yes. Their defense suggests yes. Now, I hope you read what I wrote this morning about you and Arthur Blank.
I know you had something with Arthur Blank. I know you had a note on there.
I referred to him as Artie, and in parentheses I wrote, if Arthur Blank can call the internationally popular Joe Bucks fan columnist Ira Kaufman as Irv, then Joe can call him Artie.
All fair's, baby. Everything's fair, baby. Nicely done.
All right, folks, if you're wondering why Ira sounds like he has food in his mouth.
It's because he does have food in his mouth.
It's because he does. We are at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, not far from the stadium, doing our thing over here.
The check's already been paid by Isbits. It's fantastic.
It's unbelievable.
Waitress, lobster, please. Lobster.
All right, Ira.
We haven't talked about Ali Marpet.
Oh, we have
either,
plenty to
see?
Talk about. Ali Marpet, the Bucks signed him yesterday, extended his contract 5 years. He got basically top five guard money. Ira, he didn't break the bank. He didn't hit the top end of the scale, but he got very close, and what he earned this year would have been number one money a year ago, which is how it is in the NFL. But they paid him like a top five guard, and of course, Marpet, I mean, I'd be a lot more excited as a 24-year-old, 25-year-old, if I just hit the lottery like he did, but he was very, you know, relaxed today.
And he might do a song on his ukulele about it, you know, might.
Exactly. Did you like the move? Do you think he earned the money? About 70% of Bucks fans on Joe Bucks Fan Poll thinks, yeah, he earned the money. And what do you think of this? And what does it say that they just paid a guy top five guard money and he was a center last year?
I might have been inclined to wait. My column that hit Joe Bucks Fan on Wednesday morning is, they've shelled out the money, where's the production? And that's not just from Ali Marpet.
That's fair, yeah.
But as a group, you know, now you got the highest paid center. You would think Donovan Smith's going to get taken care of. Not necessarily, but you would think.
Oh, yeah.
So that's three guys earning top bucks. 3.1 yards a carry, Lee. It's not getting it done. And the pass protection in the last two games has not been good enough.
Yeah, I agree.
It has not been good enough.
I agree.
First two games, high marks on the pass protection. So, Steve, I would have waited. I got nothing against Marpet. I think he's a good player. I think there's a lot of room for growth. For Marpet, I don't think he's played particularly well the last two games, but I don't think he's a guy that the money's going to go to his head either. He seems very level-headed.
He does, doesn't he?
He does. I would have waited. Lee, will they do Donovan Smith? And if they do, when do you think that'll happen? You think that'll happen before the year's out?
I don't know if you were there when I asked Donovan Smith. I specifically asked him word for word, so when are you getting paid?
He laughed.
Esbitz thought I asked him, so when are you getting in something that rhymes with paid? Which would have been the ultimate Sutter and John question. But I'm not even that crazy to ask that in media availability. Maybe at a bar, but not in media availability in a locker room. And I thought it was interesting what Donovan Smith said. He goes, I want to focus on football. I told my agent, when things get serious, then give me a call. Otherwise, let me focus on football. And If it happens, it'll happen. But no, I haven't gotten a call yet.
Hey, Ira's still trying to figure out what rhymes with onus.
So,
you'll tell me after the show.
Speaking of getting paid and where's the production, you're not wrong. And the offensive line's getting paid top shelf dollar. That top shelf play was there the last couple weeks. I'll go ahead and in general, and I'll specify the defense. Every one of these guys I'm going to mention are top shelf players, and they're being paid top shelf money. JPP, Gerald McCoy, Lavonte David, Brent Grimes, worst defense in the league, and it's not even close. I hate to keep banging on the defense, but if they had average defense, this team would be 3-1, perhaps 4-0 if I could be hot pie in the sky. Certainly 3-1. And when fans scream at McCoy, and I'm a McCoy fan, and I'm a McCoy defender, but I understand why people go nuts about McCoy. They're like, he's getting paid all this money. He's getting all these all-pros. What are we getting out of it? And I can't really argue with that.
And, Steve, on the other side of the ball, I think it's tough to argue with my point that to ask Jameis Winston to go to next 12 games with a lousy ground game, I think that's asking a lot. He's still a young quarterback. I know Fitzpatrick did it the first 2 weeks. First of all, they didn't run the ball poorly the first half against New Orleans. They ran it pretty darn well, first half in New Orleans. I understand the Eagles game, they didn't run it well. But we're talking about a 12 game sample, Lee. In my opinion, Jameis Winston is not coming out of the game barring injury. He's not coming out.
Of course not.
And some fans say, well, if he doesn't play well against Cleveland, he'll be benched in the second half. That's not going to happen.
Those are the people that want him unemployed.
That's not going to happen.
No, nor
should it, in my opinion. So you heard my question to Dan Quinn with all the numbers that the quarterbacks are putting up and the rules against. The ground game is still important for intangibles. And the first thing he said is, the play action is not effective if you don't have a ground game. They don't respect it.
Yeah, that's true.
And a big part of Jameis' success over his first 3 years has been play action.
Yeah.
They got to get that run game going, Steve. If they have a lead, as they did in the Eagle game, they couldn't get anything going. They couldn't generate any yards to run out the clock. Good teams do that, Steve. They have a problem with that. And the other part, and it was a key word to me, key word for Quinn to mention it. When you run the ball well, it gives you a physicality component.
It does.
And right now, I think the Bucs lack that.
Well, here's a stat for you. I want your feedback. Now, my response to this stat is it's more complex than what it sounds or what it reads. And, of course, people would scream, oh, you're making excuses. This comes from NFL Films, not the tribe. It comes from NFL Films, people that I respect. The Bucs are the worst team in the league for running backs getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. Like they counted hits behind or hits before contact. Bucks running backs get hit before contact
this year?
As we speak, through five games in the NFL. No team is worse than the Bucks. No team. And, of course, Doug Martin's not doing a damn thing with Oakland either.
You're right.
Let's get right after the meat and potatoes here. We got a football game on Sunday. We got predictions. You pick the order, Ira. You want Lee, me, you to go first.
I'll go last.
You're going last. Or who do you want to go first?
You're first, Nisbets.
I'm first? All right. So
what's your record?
I'm 3-1. You are 2-2. Lee's 1-3. And I'm picking a Bucks victory. I'm looking at, I'm going to say 30-21. I think Mike Smith's defense recovers. I think the talent will save his ass. The guys Lee just mentioned and the bye week and a little more aggression, and I think the running game comes back. They have to focus on this thing. Atlanta's averaging 4.9 yards a game. They're not good up front.
You mean giving up 4.9 a rush?
Yeah, 4.9 a rush.
Big number. We can get four.
Jameis is going to be wild. I think he's going to scramble, so I'm going to go 31-20 Bucks. Things look good. We'll start talking playoffs again.
Lee, what do you got? You got some ground to make up on this bit.
30-21, sorry.
That could tilt you towards an Atlanta pick right there, knowing you got to make up ground on the first place Isbits.
And I'm saying this without any regard to beating someone in any kind of contest. I've seen what the Saints have done to this team. I've seen what the Steelers have done to this team. I've seen what the Eagles have done to this team. I've seen what Mitch Trubisky's done to this team. Now they're going up and they're facing the Falcons. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, bevy of wide receivers. Sanu, this guy, the rookie from Alabama,
Ridley.
The running back Freeman from Florida State's getting healthy. the dome record under Mike Smith's defenses with the Bucks is beyond embarrassing. I mean, that's a fireball offense right there. I'm looking at Falcons 42, Bucks 24.
Steve, if that's true, then all of next week's podcast will be about Mike Smith, if that prediction is correct. All right, I got to break the tie here.
By the way, I hope I'm wrong.
That's right. I would love to make up ground on Isbitz, but I'm going to go with the Bucks. I think they'll put the Falcons out of their misery at 1-5. I think Atlanta will be done if they lose. Atlanta's desperate. But the Bucks have a chance to make a statement. They got a chance to bury the ghosts of Chicago. And I think they'll do enough on offense without O.J. Howard, albeit. But Cameron Braid is a favorite of Jameis Winston's anyway. I don't think that's going to be much of a factor. I think Peyton Barber will get 80 yards on Sunday instead of 40. And I believe the Bucks will win 31-27. Lee, we still might be talking a little bit about Mike Smith, but not in the same way because they're going to have a W behind them. And they're going to be in good shape winning their first two division road games.
I got a real update for you on O.J. Howard. Now, we're taping this as the Bucks are practicing on Wednesday afternoon. I got a text from someone who would know with the Bucks. No floppy hats today. O.J. Howard is actually practicing.
Nice.
And I saw O.J. Howard in the locker room earlier today. Monday, I saw him as well. Monday, had a compression wrapping on his knee. No wrap or brace that I saw today.
And in the words of Isbitz, we're going into week 6. They don't have any injuries on offense. They're full go.
They're loaded. And you know what? After the last game, I wrote, what a wonderful setup for Jameis. Bucks are healthy. And, a typical Joe Bucks fan comment or haters. They're like, what are you talking about? Didn't you see O.J. Howard get injured? Well, you know what? A little birdie had told me that it's really not so bad, and he may even play in the next game. But
your birdie might be right.
I hope it's right, but it doesn't really matter. They're as healthy as any team on offense right now. And that's exciting. That's exciting. Now, Sage, a couple of things before we head out of town. Your podcast, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, great place to listen, subscribe, leave a comment. I will pick up the rankings here, but I think you've fallen out of favor on Google Play, Ira. They're killing you. Nancy Grace and weather podcasts and all
that
kinds of
things. Damn Nancy Grace. Don't tell me she's still talking about the O.J. trial.
Now, you are off the charts, but we'll get you back there, Sage.
I'll be back.
Last thing, I always have to ask you. Locker room today, you were buzzing around like a wild man. Mike Evans, you're in his grill, too. You're everywhere. Jameis, you're loud, too. Everyone's looking at you. But Mike Evans, you get anything there, anything else?
Well, I asked to go on the ping pong table. They wouldn't let me, Steve. But Mike Evans and I are talking a little NBA basketball. I'm an old Sixer fan. They're finally relevant again. They got some stud players. He's talking about the Celtics. He's talking about LeBron. Yeah, I got one nugget off of my conversation with Mr. Evans. We were talking about receivers, and I said, the fastest man in the NFL, hands down, this is me talking, is Tyreek Hill. That's what I said to Evans. And Evans did not disagree.
Is that right?
He did not disagree. And he said, boy, I would have loved to have seen a race between Tyreek Hill of today and DeSean Jackson about 5 years ago.
Something tells me there's a third guy in the NFL that's like really, 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 really quick. Besides DeSean and Tyreek Hill, but I can't think of who.
There's a handful of guys, but DeSean,
the guy from Chicago,
Tariq Cohen.
Yes,
Cohen. Yeah, he's in the mix.
All right, Sage. Quick tease. I actually talked to Mike Evans today on that in that vein, and he gave me two really unique nuggets that will be stories on Joe Bucks Fan this week about speed. I'm looking forward to sharing those because I know there's no chance they'll be anywhere else.
Not a chance, baby.
Which is cool, Ira. We will see you on your Tampa 2 show. 2 episodes. With Derek Brooks, Joe Bucks Fan, and the Identity Tampa Bay.
Be on Tailgate Sunday.
We'll probably see those episodes Thursday night and Friday or Friday and Saturday. Tailgate Sunday, Fox 13, 10:30.
Russo.
On Sunday. And, of course, Mad Dog Russo, 5 o'clock if you want to listen live.
I ain't Peter King. You can't bully me, Russo.
All right, get out of here.
Bye, Irv. Now.